This is Brittany, and we are bringing to you a brand new episode of Truth Serum, which is a podcast of Crossover Bible Fellowship. Joining with me are my three wonderful co-hosts. Joaquin, say hello.
What up, what up, what up, fam?
Yo, 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 what's up?
Okay, that one with the Aaron.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good to be back.
And Nathan.
Yo, what's up, Nathan in the house?
Bro, you just went straight back to the 90s with that.
My Lord.
I did. I'm glad you caught on.
Let the people know how y'all are doing. How is it going?
Man, it's going good for me. It's been a busy day at work. Work has been extremely busy for me, y'all. I mean, we've been doing a lot of different things with data and more data and data on top of data. So, man, but yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at, Joe. The kids are good. The wife is good. So yeah, man, that's pretty much what's going on for me.
Great. How are you doing, Nate?
Yeah, well, I'm back. I was in the sunny side of the country. I was in California.
Hey.
You know, kicking it by Venice Beach and Santa Monica. You know, real big stuff, you know, for business. And also, like I said, you know, went to Calabasas to try to, you know, work out some things with some celebrities y'all might know. But I'm back in Houston.
Cool, cool. And, did you get a chance to work it out?
No, it's going to take some more work, man. So I'll probably have to go back there. But yeah, man, back to Houston, back to humidity, back to work. But yeah, it feels good to be home.
Amen.
Nice. How you doing, Aaron?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, guys. Had a rough morning. I was going to work. Like, I would just think about this. You are going to work. You're fresh to death. Like, you put your cologne on. You feel good today. Right? Just picture this.
You're smelling right.
You smell good. And then you walk out. You know, you got some good shoes on, looking nice. You walk out. And then you're like, okay, this is a normal day. You see a dog. And I'm like, okay, this is with no leash, no owner around. And then the dog attacks me, guys.
Bro. So,
yeah, attacks.
What on earth?
I was bitten by the dog. And yeah, I'm sorry for all those dog owners who love their dogs like their children, but please be, that dog was very gracious. He was like, he better be glad I didn't have some other stuff to put on that dog.
No.
He would not be alive or here.
He was ready to fight the dog.
I was ready to put the dog down. No, the dog would have been down. Bang, bang, if you feel what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey,
no man. Joke.
But, Aaron, bro, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, I had to go get a shot today. You know, make sure you're up on your shot records, guys. But, yeah,
right.
I had to go get a
shot Keep today. Keep it current. Were you current on yours?
Yeah, but you don't. So I found out you don't really get – you get a tetanus shot at 12 years old, right, for school. But really after that, you don't really get another tetanus shot. So even at the doctor, they were saying, yeah, you probably should get one every couple years. So I was like, okay, I don't need one. But because I definitely got bit by this dog, you don't want all that bacteria infecting you. So,
yeah, from what I heard, it's like the difference between 3 shots and 5 shots, something like that.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know, but I'm just glad I'm all right. And I'm on the podcast with you all.
Me too.
Cool, man. I'm glad you're here, man. That boy faithful.
Yo, hey, you got a dog, keep it on a leash. Because if I see it, hey.
Aaron is mad at all the dogs.
One quick thing. I like how Aaron turned into Craig's dad on Friday.
Literally.
Hey, it's all good. Hey, put your dogs on a leash. That's all I'm saying.
Well, today we are going to be talking about purpose over pleasure. And let's just kind of start by defining purpose. How would you guys define purpose?
Yo, this is Joaquin. I'll start. So honestly, I don't necessarily like the word purpose. I actually have a problem with it. I think that anytime that I hear purpose, I get really skeptical about what I'm about to hear. So, you know, especially in the church realm. So if I'm in church and, you know, I was raised Baptist. When I got to college, I went to a pretty much a more so charismatic church. Really, you know, it was really good church, really good pastor. Pastor was amazing, awesome. You know, I still spend time with him today. But a lot of times when we talk about purpose, it was more so about what God had for me. And I think God definitely has things for us, but I get really, really concerned when we start talking about purpose and what God has for me, because a lot of times it seems that, you know, it's being defined, or it means that, you know, God has something for me over God himself. So my purpose is more important than God. So, so that's really the problem I had. And normally the culture normally defines it, you know, as, hey, like, you know, whatever purpose is, you know, I think that there are things that I would like to do that bring me pleasure and joy. So if I wanted to go and, you know, some people may say, man, it's my purpose, or I was created and made, you know, to be a police officer, or I was, you know, created to be a, you know, a doctor. So I go to school and accomplish my so-called purpose of being a doctor. So I think that there are a lot of different definitions the way that the culture defines what purpose is. So, that's where I'll start.
And what do you guys think, Nate and Aaron?
Yeah, when it comes to purpose, in terms of how it would be defined, well, I'll do a basic definition and I'll say a deep one, right? But more specifically, I would say purpose. In other words, hey, what were you put on this earth to do, right? But another way I would look at it is, you know, the specific intent on why God placed me where I am at different moments in time, because there's a specific purpose why I was at a certain place, maybe when I was 10 or 11 years old, but what is the purpose now that in my 20s, leading to my 30s and beyond, I'm in different places. So my purpose is changing over time. That's why I say at different moments in time. And a simple example I like to give, if life is a movie, what is the role that you've been set up to play?
I like that.
Are you the protagonist of the story? You the antagonist? Is it an underdog story? Is it a story of you're a superhero? Is it a story of you're not a superhero, like you're just a regular background character? You know, what is it? So if life is a movie, what is a particular role that you're playing in your life?
Okay. So since this show is also about having a discussion between biblical truths and cultural understandings of things, how would you guys say that our culture tends to define or think of purpose inside and or outside of the church?
I think it varies, honestly, depending on what church you go to. In some circles, you may have people that think that purpose is, you know, I'm only here and created to do what God has called me to do. And, you know, whatever that work is, or whatever that may be, you know, that's what purpose is defined in church. You know, I think there are other circles that may say, hey, you know, God has a specific purpose for me to do, meaning specific in nature as far as what's going on here on earth. So whatever I do here on earth, that is my purpose. I've also heard some either say that, hey, like I can basically do anything that I want. Like, you know, as long as I set my mind to it, I can do anything I want. You know, that's what my mom used to tell me. You know,
all the black mamas, like my
mama's right, exactly. So, you know, mom used to say, Joaquin, baby, you know, that old grandma voice, baby, you can do whatever you put your mind to. And it's like, all right, cool. You know, like I'm cool with that. So, you know, honestly, that's how I was even raised, you know, but I kind of have a different viewpoint, which I'll get into later on. But, you know, that's kind of how the culture, you know, thinks about things. They think that, hey, like, you know, I can do whatever it is I put my mind to, you know, whatever I deem is good, whatever I deem is okay. As long as it's within the confines of, you know, law, order, and government, then I can do whatever, you know, kind of going back to our episode on autonomy, you know, so like, usually anything that I do or what I want to do, I can go out and do it. And so I think, you know, the culture, I think the culture is a bit misled when they think about that, because we're basically defining what is good and what is okay for me to do, regardless if there are any parameters that may hinder us from doing that. So, so the Bible doesn't become, you know, my main source of why I do what I do, but whatever I decide to go out and accomplish, you know, I don't necessarily need the parameter. The Bible can be a parameter for some people, you know, so I don't necessarily need the Bible to be, you know, my stopping point for me to do something as long as I'm, you know, obeying the law and doing whatever. I mean, shoot, some people's purpose is to, you know, go out and be a stripper. Like, for instance, like, you know, a woman may say, hey, man, you know, I'm making a lot of money, you know, just by making sure I keep my body tight, making sure that, you know, I talk to, you know, making sure that, hey, I'm making money. I'm not, you know, prostituting myself or anything like that, but I can do whatever I want to do. That it's my purpose to be a stripper, or it's my purpose to do whatever I want to do. So yeah. So I think the culture has a, you know, definition, yeah, you know, that kind of basically explains only, you know, only those, whatever I want to do, like, that can be my purpose.
Yeah. So I think one interesting point is that your definition of what the, or your idea of what the culture says purpose is, has a lot to do with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Just random Google search. If you Google the definition of purpose, what'll come up is the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. So purpose has to do with existence. Purpose has to do with why I was made and what I was made to do, or what I was made for. And I think in our culture, a lot of people think about what they were made for without thinking about who they were made by and who they were made for. So one of my favorite verses in the Bible about purpose is from Ephesians 2:10. And it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. And for one verse, this is talking about God, talking about Christ three times. Whereas a lot of times outside of a relationship with God through Christ, it's not really about God. And so how do you think people still decide to do good things, still decide to go out and pursue life and purpose, despite what God has said?
Now, I would definitely say the thing that a lot of people have to pay attention to, or at least ask themselves introspectively, is, and I'm not trying to get too philosophical, but what is good? What is good and what is bad? Here's an example. So in the history of the United States, there was something called prohibition. Prohibition was the banning of any alcohol beverage at a certain point in time. So selling alcoholic beverages became illegal, right? At one point it was not, then it was illegal. But then you get people who are, you know, selling alcoholic beverages when they're not supposed to, in movies like Life. That's what the two characters were doing. But, you know, they're doing certain things they're not supposed to do. Then the law changed and said, hey, it is legal again to sell alcoholic beverages. And then once again, people went back to selling. And now it was no longer seen as wrong because it was legalized. So I'm bringing that up just to say, at one point in time, if you're just following the letter of the law, alcohol was good. Then it was illegal. Then it was bad. Now it's legal again. So you can sell alcohol. You're good again. If your standard is the law in which you live, your definition of good will change based upon whatever the culture or the law that's being set when it shifts. Absolutely. Now your definition changes. Mm-hmm. So I think people overall have a general sense of what is good, what people call the golden rule: do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So when people go overseas and they build a well in a village, or when people find money on the ground and they return it back to the person who lost it, things like that are seen as good, right? But in God's economy, things are definitely very different, because God defines things as good based on motive. motive, if it was a Venn diagram, one side would be motive and another side would be, did you obey what God said to do? And then a third, a third circle would be, do you even believe in God for him to even give you credit for what you did? And then the intersection of all that would be good. I'll probably do some type of visual so you all can see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, make a little visual course.
Yeah. But ultimately, you know, I'll be honest. I always thought I was a good person because I never treated anyone badly based upon how our culture defines morality. But when I saw things like Isaiah 64 and it says things like, hey, your righteousness is like a filthy rag. Anything you try to do before God is seen as bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think passages like that really had me thinking of, man, what is really good? And at least currently, my definition of good is defined by what God says. But before that, good was whatever I thought made me feel good. I really thought whatever makes me smile is a good thing. That was not always the case, but that's the definition I used to have.
So, Nathan, I have a quick, and Brittany and Aaron, I have a quick, I want to kind of say something here. So, in the context of purpose of what we're talking about, you know, because I like that Brittany said Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them, right? Walking, which means to live out, right? To like live out, you know, by doing these good works that God has prepared for us. So with that being said, you made mention that, you know, everything that you did, you know, was good, or some things that you did was good, but based on God's economy, some things that you did that you thought was good might've been bad, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we kind of, you know, justify what good is? Because not everything that we do is bad. And based on the things that we do that are good, sometimes they do match up with God's economy. So how do we, you know, how do we kind of go, you know, how do we get to that point of what we do is actually okay with God? Like, does that mean I can do whatever I want to do? Okay, go ahead.
Yep. Pardon me. I really like the question. I really, really like, I think, where you're coming from, because I have a lot of thoughts on that. One thought is, I do think that there is...
Tell me, girl.
I'll tell you. I do think that there is God's common grace, that in a similar way that God makes the rain shine on the just and the unjust, and that God does good to even people who are evil, I do think that in God's goodness and grace, he doesn't completely set us loose to only kill each other all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that people can do good things. The difference, the way that I see it, is that righteousness is of God. It's from God, and it's from faith in Christ. And so just because I have done something that caused no harm, I've taken care of my child, I have fed my child and loved my child, that is a good thing. And we praise God for that.
And that's fair.
Different from God saying, okay, come and have a relationship with me because of that. Because on the other hand, no one is righteous. No, not one. No one seeks after God. All have gone their own way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each one to our own way. And so the only way that we can come back into right relationship with God is through God's own righteousness in Christ for us through faith. And so doing good things will not save us from God's wrath, only trusting in Christ.
And that's fair. And that sounds great. And I believe that 1,000%, right? I think everybody on this.
Out of the 1,000.
So 1,000%, you know, I totally believe that. But as far as for the believer is concerned, sometimes the believer is also concerned with, you know, what am I here to do, right? Now, you know, so, and what I mean by that is that, is it possible for the believer to do whatever that they want to do as long as it's in the confines of the scriptures.
I had a pastor friend who would frequently say, you know what, Brittany? It wasn't normally to me, honestly. So it was more like, you know what, y'all? Love God, love others, and do whatever else you want to do. When I first heard that, I thought, ain't no way. Can't be. However, what he would describe is the restriction is in the first two. If I'm loving God, that means the love of God is informing every single thing I choose to do and not do. If I'm loving other people, that means that loving these people, I'm going to be selfless. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be humble. I'm not going to do anything harmful. I'm going to honor God. And so to a certain degree, absolutely. Absolutely. Love God, love people, and do whatever else you want to do. And so I can love God and love people and build a shelter for orphans, et cetera, et cetera. I do think in there, there are just some wise principles for guiding what we do and what we choose to do, such as resources and abilities. That's a thing.
Can you repeat your question again, Joaquin?
Yeah, sure. So basically I'm saying, can, as far as when we're talking about purpose and what God wants us to do, as far as of what God wants me to do, right? Is it possible for as a believer to do whatever I want to do as long as I'm in the confines of scripture? So I'll give you an example, right? So an example would be, let's say I wanted to go find a job, right? And let's say I went to school, let's just use me. I went to school, my degree's in mathematics with a minor in computer science. And I became a teacher when I first moved to Houston. So, and let's just say, you know what? I don't want to be a teacher no more. I thought it was really cool, but you know, I want to go be a, let's just say, you know, a crime scene investigator, a CSI. Or let's just say even now, like, you know, Joaquin, I'm going to go be a database administrator. So like, you know, is purpose more so tied to like what I do? You know, because a lot of times there are people that are out there that may think that, hey, I am a DBA or a database administrator or a CSI or a teacher because I was called, or, you know, because I was born to be a teacher or born to be a CSI or born to be a, born to be a database administrator. So like what I'm saying is that, am I available, you know, based as long as I stay within the confines of scripture? And I think Brittany kind of alluded to this. Am I available to do whatever I want to do in this earth as long as I stay within the confines of the scriptures? Because when I think about purpose, a lot of times people think purpose is this is like a one track deal to where I need to be doing A, but not really recognizing that you really have the freedom to do A through Z.
So I think you answered your own question.
No. I know, I didn't want to do that, right? Like, that's why I wanted to like talk to you guys about it. So now that I have answered my own question, and because that's what I believe, right? That's why I agree with you, Brittany, you know, that, hey, like, love God, love his people, and do whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, because if I'm loving God, whatever I do, right, you know, will be within the confines of scripture, which is and totally okay.
Oh, my bad.
You know, I'm okay with that. So go ahead, Aaron. My bad. Go ahead.
I'm sorry about that. No, but I would say if you're loving God and you're loving others, your motivation and what you're doing is going to be because of you loving God. So I think that's why loving God has to come first, because your motivation, I think Nate alluded to this and Brittany was asking the question of your motivation on the backhand on what you're doing. Because because a lot of people will say, yo, I do this, this is my purpose, but the motivation behind you being a teacher. Like, my motivation behind being a teacher is to be able to educate, hopefully be able to tell somebody about the gospel, pray for my kids, and be able to develop them to be college and career readiness and to be successful in life. So I think when it comes to the motivation behind what you're doing, I think that's when sometimes it can kind of get flaky. But for the believer, because we love the Lord and because we love and we serve others, that is why it definitely works in the confines of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Good, good, good.
For me, I can honestly say it's both and.
Okay.
The difficulty with believing that there is only one single thing for you to do that would please God is that sometimes you can get trapped in what a lot of people would like to call or like to call paralysis of analysis, because mm-hmm. what can happen is a non-stop searching or seeking for God, what is that one thing? What am I supposed to do? Am I missing it? Am I doing it? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I think that sometimes when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God, I mean, this is all the time, right? God promises that all these things will be added unto you. And in that context, he seemed to be mostly referring to people's daily needs. But I think even in a broader sense, God takes care of you as you seek him. God opens doors, closes doors, shifts things around, sometimes without intense effort to figure it out. Like, I've been fasting 50 days and God still needs to show me. So I do think that sometimes it can get a little bit dangerous, because when our head is down so far, we miss the fact that God has purpose for us in every single day, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. And I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. who has that famous quote about, if God calls you to be a street sweeper, you be the best street sweeper you can be. And I really hope I'm not getting that wrong, but I feel like I might be. And I think the reality is that, like, we can glorify and honor God in any good profession that mm-hmm. is out there. And, like, I think Pastor Blake even said it one day, that who does God want you to talk to today at work? Mm-hmm. You honoring God, being like Daniel, being faithful. Daniel lived out his calling as essentially as an exile, as in some ways as a prisoner.
That's good, dude.
He was able to go and to create radical change. Mm-hmm. You know, he was given mm-hmm. a position that he did not choose. And he did it with excellence, so much so that he was eventually noticed and taken note of and given opportunity to speak into the deepest needs of the king. That caused him to change the way their whole society was run. And so I think that we can take cues from that and mm-hmm. recognize that wherever God has put me, I can be his ambassador. I can mm-hmm. represent him, and I can love others in a way that they can see and reflect on the beauty of my God.
Mm-hmm. Man, that is good. That is really, really good. Man, I would even take it a step further to say wherever God has put me. And well, let me ask this question first before I answer my own question again. So with that being said, like, do you think that we have the ability to choose what we would like to do, and do that wholeheartedly unto the Lord? I mean, like, based on, you know, based on whatever that purpose may be. So, like, is that what you're saying? Anytime I think about this purpose thing, I always think about something Eric Mason said. So, like, Eric Mason made a statement. I think he was on a live deal or something like that. And I, you know, just so happened to look at it. And, man, he was like, man, you know, whatever that we do, we have the ability to choose whatever that is, as long as it's in the confine of the scripture. And one of the ideas that he gave was about Genesis 2, where God says to Adam, you know, he puts Adam in the garden and he says, from any tree you may eat, but the tree of knowledge and good and evil, you can do not eat from that tree, you know, and if you do, you will surely die, right? And so I think God gave Adam to be able to choose whatever tree or food source he wanted to eat from. The problem is just that, you know, he disobeyed God by eating from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. So, you know, he says that, you know, that this life is kind of like a sphere, and we basically have the ability to be able to choose whatever we want, whatever we would like to do, as long as it's in the, as long as it's bringing God glory. So Brittany, that was really good. Thank you so much for that.
Now, I hear what you're saying, and I do not disagree with you. At the same time, there are a lot of godly and biblical people who do have advice or direction on how people can discover the reason for which they're made. So even one of our favorite teachers, Tony Evans, has a book called Discover Your Purpose. Mm-hmm. And lots of wonderful authors have books like that. And on the one hand, there's this idea that just do whatever. I mean, later on, we're going to talk about a book that kind of has the same foundation. And this idea that, hey, kind of like what I said, love God, love people, do whatever else you want to do. And then this other side that's like, okay, there is wisdom in figuring out these different elements to your life, to your background, to your personality that would help you walk into something that's suitable for what God has for you. What do you guys think of that? Nathan, please come on the mic.
There we go. So I guess the only thing I would say that I don't think those resources are bad. However, I think when purpose, it becomes about myself, when it becomes about the individual person, instead of being my purpose and my destiny being connected to others, I think that's where we have the problem. Because your purpose, like, God didn't put you here to just for yourself. Like, he put you here to serve others and to be able to glorify him. So I don't think any of those things are bad. But however, when it's about pleasing myself, what can I gain? What can I get? What can I do instead of what can I do for others? I think that's where it can kind of get tricky.
I hear you. So how can people make that shift? Some people might knowingly be like, yeah, I'm low-key selfish. But how can people make the shift from, okay, let's be real. I want to make a name for myself. I want to look good. I want people to know who I am. I want to be the goat. We've all heard of that. I always be thinking of how Jesus is going to separate the goats from the sheep. Anyway. But let's say that whether people do or don't realize that type of motivation, that self-seeking, self-inflating motivation that says, man, I just want to be somebody. I want people to know my name, compared to, no, I really do want to love God. I really do want to serve others. How can people make that shift from one side to the other?
Yeah, I believe in terms of making the shift from one side to the other, I just want to first acknowledge it might not always be easy because, again, when we talk about overall purpose, a lot of people tend to, you know, mix in their hopes, their dreams, their desires, the things that they want. And also people tend to think that whenever I'm walking fully in my purpose, that is when I will feel the most satisfied. But also whenever I'm walking in my purpose, then I will also maximize the amount of people I'm going to reach. Right? So, here's an example. A teacher may think, I'm teaching these kids day in and day out. I'm not really maximizing my purpose. But the same teacher may feel like they're walking in their purpose if they got the Teacher of the Year award and all their students are passing all their classes and so on and so forth. So they may tie purpose to how they gauge success. The reason I'm saying all of that is because when it comes to making a shift, I believe it all comes down to how does success look and or how is success defined? Mm-hmm. Because that determines how you're going to shift towards walking in your purpose. What does it matter if you get a Teacher of the Year awards and all your students pass, but then 5 years goes by and you run into your students in the future and their lives are terrible? Wouldn't you rather your students, maybe they wrestle in class, maybe you don't get recognized by the administration, but then you run into your students 5 years from then and then they say, I'm just going to say your name because you're a teacher. And then they say, Mr. Aaron, you did such a great job. like, man, you completely changed my life because of what you said in this class. I did X. So how can you make a shift? The biggest thing that I would say is you have to think about the long term, not the short term. Oftentimes we really think about the short term. If what you're doing when you're walking purposefully, what is the long term effect really going to yield?
That's good, Nate.
And I think mm-hmm. that translates into many different things, especially in parenting. Because this is the things you do to your kid when you like, this kid ain't going to listen. Man, I'm about to give up, but they're my kids, so I can't get rid of them. So you might be frustrated, but you really have to think about it. Whether it be, should I give my kid a whooping or not? To fast forward to what happens if I don't give him a whooping, right? And I'm just saying that as a very small microcosm of an example, but I'm just saying there's long-term effect. So how can you make a shift? Start thinking long-term, because the actions you do every day add up to where you'll be in the long-term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point to start thinking long-term. One thing that's been helpful for me to make a shift, number one, is being honest with myself. So there may not be an overarching motivation per se, but for example, one day, not too long ago, I found myself just feeling like, man, like I really want to succeed. And it wasn't, I really want to succeed and glorify God. It was like, no, I really want to succeed and be great. And my first step was being honest with myself and being honest with God, and confessing that and repenting and receiving God's forgiveness. Kind of that simple, that any good motivation I have is from God anyway. And so kind of acknowledging my ungodly motivation and allowing God to forgive me, to cleanse me, to give me godly motivation, namely to honor him and to serve others. Okay, so I have another question. What good do you guys see in making an effort to know yourself or making an effort to understand your specific reason for existing from a godly motivation? And you can say none if you want to. I'll just disagree with you.
You said what effort?
What's the benefit do you see in making efforts to know yourself, to know who God made you to be so you can know what God made you to do? What good or what benefit is there in seeking that? Well, I think there is tremendous benefit because God has designed me and you uniquely. And there are some things that I don't need to be doing. For example, nobody needs to have me working on their animals. They just don't. And one beautiful place that I see this is when God gave his people the task of creating the tabernacle. People were moved uniquely to contribute. People were moved uniquely to contribute uniquely based on their own gifts. So they had people who were uniquely skilled to design stuff, designing. People who were uniquely skilled to build, building, to create, creating. And so I think in the same way, just like as a body, we all have many parts and many functions, even in the world, there are good things that we bring uniquely. And I think in a context like ours, where we do have a choice compared to in other contexts where they don't have much of a choice, I think it would be a wonderful benefit for us to take advantage of that. And some of the ways that I have kind of grown in knowing myself better is, number one, by knowing Jesus better. So as I see Jesus, I can kind of look at what things are different. And I can also continually give myself over to him and listen, so to speak, to those things that he guides me towards, those things that stand out to me in the world and in the word. And of course, through prayer, spending time with God in prayer really helps to listen for God's guidance about which opportunities to take. For example, one thing that I was praying about in my heart is the thing that three of us are going to be speaking about on Friday. Let's talk about sex with the youth. And so part of, not everyone is, that's not going to appeal to everyone. That's not going to resonate with everyone, but it resonated very much with me. Bible reading your Bible, seeing these different ways that God has shown his glory in people and through people. And then looking at your gifts, your strengths, your talents, your skills, experiences, and passions. And of course, finding mentors and friends and family members who can speak into your lives. And I think that this one has to be done with caution, because sometimes our family members or friends can just tell us what they want us to do instead of what they see in us. But I think many, many, many times people have done wonderful things based on other people's suggestions. People's experiences, people's lives have led them to do great things for God. And two key people that I think of off the top of my head, not necessarily because they heard something specific from a person, but Harriet Tubman and Fred Rogers. These are people who, in their own way, almost as the most unlikely people, made incredible impact for God. And some of it, I think, took making that space to know who they were, some trial and error, to think about experiences, and to then make movements prayerfully and trusting God.
Now, I'm glad you said that. In the specific example of Harriet Tubman that you brought up, one thing that I just want to call out really quick is, like I said, a lot of times people feel like walking in their purpose is associated with a feeling. I'll feel good and or relaxed and or happy when I'm fully walking in my purpose. Like, y'all, you know, I don't, of course, I wasn't there when it happened. But if I could just use my imagination and at least some of the writings that exist, I would say, man, you know, Harriet Tubman doing what she was supposed to do, that wasn't always comfortable. Cool. She didn't always feel happy. Her life was at risk. She was scared. Mm-hmm. She was fearful. But that was better than leaving people where they were. So I just want to highlight that sometimes walking in your purpose is not going to feel good, is not going to be glamorous, will also leave you fearful and or scared. But sometimes walking in your purpose requires taking a risk, right? And a simple example I mentioned earlier in the pre-show was, like, if you're a firefighter, who wants to say, yeah, man, it's in my purpose to go in a burning building every day and risk my life and maybe I won't come out? That doesn't sound cool. That's not going to be on a t-shirt. That's not going to be on IG hashtag motivation. You know, like, no, it's not. But that might be someone's specific purpose to risk their happiness, their wellness, in order to help someone and or save someone else. And I think some element of that has to be thought about when we're looking at choosing purpose over pleasure, which is, if you're going to walk in your purpose, and we can reference back to Harriet Tubman as well if we want, but if you're going to walk in your purpose, what is at risk? Mm-hmm. That can't be such a small risk that it doesn't even warrant you giving the effort.
Yeah, that's good. Guys, do you have any closing remarks or statements as we wrap it up?
Yeah, I just want to kind of make sure. I think, man, we've said it, you know, a lot, that, you know, going back to that Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship created and, you know, designed to do good works that God has prepared beforehand, before the foundations of the world. And so, man, I just want to just clarify, you know, that purpose. My purpose, like, I think I was telling Aaron this a while back ago, like, when I was younger, I used to listen to this song, it used to go like something like, you know, well, I was just talking about William Murphy. He has the same song that I used to think about this too. It goes, I was created just to give you all the glory. I was created just to give, to worship and adore thee. So, like, you know, so what I was created for, and I totally agree with that, you know? And so, like, what I was created for was literally to just worship and to make God's name great. So, like, in whatever that I do, you know, I can make God's name great, you know? And that's the whole purpose of purpose, is really to come alongside and be able to make God's name great. It's not necessarily about me or what I do. It's not necessarily about what I do. It's not about me, period. But it's, how can I, through all the things that I do, whether it be me being a husband, my purpose for being a husband, my purpose for being a father, my purpose for, you know, serving in ministry, my purpose for going to church, in whatever it is, my purpose is literally to make God's name great. So purpose is not a thing that I can just go out and just do. Purpose is really just something that is there for me to be able to say, hey, look, my purpose is to bring God, to make God's name great. And that's really it. At the end of the day, I have the ability to do whatever it is I want to do, as long as it's the confine within, as long as it's in the confines of Scripture. And if that's the case, then I can do that, as long as it's within the confines of Scripture. So,
purpose is the means to the end of glorifying God, not mm-hmm. the itself.
I'll give a resource. So a book I'm actually reading right now and almost finished with it. It's called Destiny by Tony Evans. And it's very, very good, talking about purpose, exactly what we were talking about, and a little deeper. And also in the back of the book, it does have like questions for each chapter. So to help you kind of think through what he's actually talking about through each chapter. So it's a pretty good book.
Is that the same as Discover Your Destiny?
Maybe a updated version.
Right, it could be an addition thing.
Oh, I have a resource. A resource that I thought was really good. I'm reaching back for it so I can make sure I'm reading it right. Is Every Good Endeavor by Timothy Keller. Ooh. It's really about, you know, connecting your work to God's work. So a lot of times when we think about purpose, we think about what am I to do. So like doing or whatnot should be always related to making God's name great and bringing him glory. And Timothy Keller does a wonderful job of explaining, you know, whatever the work that I do and how it's really related to who God is and what he has created me to do, which is to bring him glory. And Every Good Endeavor is really good. Another one is, Work Matters. Work Matters by R. Paul Stevens is really basically him giving us different types of things that we do as far as in our work is concerned. Lets us be able to know, talks about different types of work, like royal work, survival work, and stewardship work, all different types of work that's throughout our lives that we should be doing. That can help us get us to the end goal of making God's name great, which is what our purpose is. So yeah.
Awesome. Okay, a couple more resources. Just Do Something by Kevin DeYoung. So this is kind of in the same vein of some of the other books that were mentioned, that kind of emphasizes the getting busy and getting things done rather than kind of thinking about it and getting caught up that way. And then The Call by Os Guinness, which is a little more dense, a little more academic, but also has some helpful questions after each section, is meant to be read more slowly. And then Kingdom Single, which is a bit of a surprise perhaps, but that one talks a lot about the purpose of a single person in general. And it's a wonderful book for single people who are seeking to know why they exist and how they can honor God as a single person. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We've had fun connecting with each other and talking.
Hey, wait a minute. I had a resource.
Sorry. Hey, Nathan, please share your resource.
Boo. No, it's all good. I'll be quick. The resource I had to recommend was a book called Start by John Acuff. So I don't think it's just packed with a whole bunch of scripture, but the whole premise of it is, look, sometimes if you're going to walk towards your purpose, you actually have to start doing something. And then you'll find out whether you like it, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether you've been uniquely gifted by the Holy Spirit to do it or not. Because, you know, if you've been gifted to teach, some aspect of that, people should benefit from your teaching, right? As you walk on your purpose. But if you think teaching's cool and you want to be a teacher, whether that's in the church or speaker, public speaker or anywhere else, and you do it and you hate it, the way you figure that out was by actually doing, right? So I'm not against planning or anything, but start is just to say, look, actually going in motion will help you figure out what you need to do. One way my friend likes to say it is, you can't move a parked car. Get in motion And then you'll be able to steer and say, oh, I see this. Oh, I don't know about that. God, I tried this. I don't really like that. Maybe let me try this over here. And that can help steer you towards what my purpose is. But sitting idle and doing nothing is not good. That's it.
Thanks, Nate. Sorry about that. So that's it from us. Please give us your comments in the comment section. We want to know what you think. We want to know what your process is right now and how you feel about the stuff that we just said. And of course, please subscribe on any location that you find or listen to your podcasts.
Hashtag speak the truth.
Hashtag speak the truth.
Okay,
drop that beat on y'all.
That's dope, man. I like that.